to this big, grandiose goal that you have as a church. And I felt I had to come to weigh in my opinion. Tell you. I have to tell you, I am against it. I think it's a very bad idea. I have never been for it, and I never will be for it. I just thought you should know. And who am I, you want to know, who would speak up against this? My name is Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, I can tell by some of your looks, you think you know who I am. In fact, let me just try something. I want you to fill in the blank, okay? I will say Jonah, and you tell me what comes to mind, okay? Jonah and the... It just happens that that's what everybody thinks when they think about me. And you know, because of that, there are people who don't take me very seriously. There are people who believe that my story is just a myth, just a fable in the pages of the Bible. But I want you to know, I was a real prophet. In fact, if you read in your historical book, 2 Kings, in chapter 14, my prophecy to King Jeroboam II is recorded there, and I want you to know that was a prophecy that I was proud to be part of. This being connected with a fish, I'd just as soon forget about it. But I had told Jeroboam that he would be victorious in battle, and that he would expand all of Israel's eastern boundaries from Hamath down to the Sea of Araba, the sea you call the Dead Sea. I had tried to communicate God's word to the people of Israel. And it was a great word that they would be victorious and that they would expand their boundaries. That was a prophecy I was proud to be part of. But people don't remember me for that. They remember me for the story of the whale and the prophecy that I gave to the people of Nineveh. That's a prophecy I'd just as soon have not had to do. In fact, when God called me to go to Nineveh to give this prophecy, it was something that I resisted. Now, if you aren't familiar with my story, it's recorded in your Bibles. And I found one of these in the back of your church, and I found my story. It's in pages 654 and 655 in your book, the story of Jonah. But it's a story that I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. You see, when God called me to prophesy for him in this situation to the Ninevites, I tell you, I wanted nothing to do with this assignment. Now, you will not understand why I did what I did if you do not understand the Ninevites and who they were. You see, Nineveh was the capital of the great empire of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians at times basically took over the world. Nineveh was the capital. And because we were about 600 miles southwest of Nineveh, where in Israel, it wasn't unusual when the Assyrians were on the march, that they would march through our country and they would ransack our people. And they were a wicked, wicked, godless, pagan nation. In fact, in the course of our history, it was the Assyrians who came and they captured all of the people in Israel. And they took some back as slaves and they intermarried with the rest so that all of the people in the 10 tribes that made up Israel lost their identities. They essentially ceased to exist as Jewish people because of the ruthlessness the barbarianism of these Assyrians. They were people who lived under their primary god. They had all sorts of gods, but one of their gods was the god Asher, and they believed that their king was his regent, sent to rule for him. And so what the king said was what their god said. And it's amazing what a country can do when they have God in their back pocket and the ruthless things that can be done. And these Assyrians, they were awful people. And yet, God told me that I was to go and to preach to the Assyrians. To give you an idea of how I felt and how our people felt about the Assyrians, your people might understand it better if you thought about back in the 20th century, during your World War II, you call it. Imagine a Jewish person being called to Berlin to preach to the people in Berlin and to speak to Adolf Hitler. That's how excited I was to go to Nineveh. I wanted nothing to do with it. It was a terrible assignment. And when God gave it to me, I said, if this is what you want, God, I'm not going to do it. And so he told me to go north and east to Nineveh. And I headed west, as far west as I could go. I got on a ship to go to Tarshish. Tarshish, it's about a year's journey by ship. I didn't want to have anything to do with anyone. And I was determined to get away from God's call. Well, there on the ship, I failed to realize that you really don't get away from God. You may run, but you can never hide from God. So on the ship, in my depression, my discouragement about this assignment and running away from God, I was below deck just sleeping. And God sent a storm. It was a storm like you've probably never seen. It was such a bad storm that these sailors on this boat were scared to death. I mean, they had been through Mediterranean storms, but this storm, they knew their lives were on the line, that it was almost all over. And these pagan sailors cried out to their gods, asking for deliverance. All the while, I was below deck. And finally, when they realized they were getting nowhere with their gods, they realized that everyone was on deck except for me. And so the captain came below deck and found me and said, "What are you doing sleeping? Don't you know what's going on? We're drowning. The storm is going to ruin our boat. It's going to kill us. Come up. At least help us bail water." So I came up on deck, and as soon as I came on deck, the wind was blowing so hard I could hardly stand up, and the waves were breaking over the boat, and the sailors, the crew, were in total fear. They were crying out to their gods. And then they asked me who I was. They'd come to the conclusion that they were getting nowhere with their gods. In fact, it's really rather ironic when you think about it. Here were these sailors praying to gods of stone and wood who were nothing. And they were seeing the futility of their prayers. And here I was running from the God of the heavens and the earth and the storms and the seas. And I was seeing the futility of my running. So they asked, "Who are you? What do you do? What country are you from?" I said, "Well, I am Hebrew. I represent the God of the earth and the heavens, the land and the sea." You should have seen their faces drop. They were pagans who had a god for everything, and when they heard that my God was the God of the land and the sea, they realized that this storm had something to do with me. But they still refused to believe. They cast their lots to try to find out who was responsible for this terrible thing. Not surprisingly, the lot didn't fall on one of them. It pointed to me. And I said, that's it. It's me. I'm responsible. I'm running from God. And they just, what? Why would you run from your God, the God of the land and the sea? Don't you know you put yourself and all of us at risk? What should we do? How can we handle this? I said, throw me overboard. If I'm the problem, get rid of me, you'll be fine. Now I have to tell you, if one of those pagan sailors had caused the storm on my boat, I would have been very happy to throw them overboard. But not these sailors. They tried as hard as they could to fight the storm. They resisted as long as they could my advice to throw me overboard. But when it became apparent that the storm was not going to stop and they were convinced that I was the cause of it, finally, they quit calling out to their gods. And they cried out to my God. And they said, Yahweh God, be merciful to us. Don't hold against us what we're going to have to do because of this man. They threw me into the ocean, into the Mediterranean Sea. And the storm that was crashing and raging, all of a sudden, was silent. Except, I'm not a very good swimmer. And I don't swim very well in my prophet clothes. And so I went down. And I struggled to try to get a breath. And I had one last breath. And then I was going under. And I knew that I was not coming up again. I was under and sinking down. The seaweed was wrapping around my head. I could sense that I was going down in the depths. And I knew that my life was over. There was no hope for Jonah. And I cried out to God. I pictured him in his temple. And I cried out to him and I asked him to somehow save me. You'll never guess how he did it. Oh yes, some of you will guess because some of you have heard the story. But God sent a great fish. A great fish. Who, in one bite, no chomping, no nothing, just swallowed me. And I was inside the belly of this fish. Oh, how did it happen? What kind of fish was it? You know, I can tell you this. It was an absolute miracle. People don't like to believe my story when I tell it, but I can tell you that the same God who sent the storm on the sea was the same God who sent the fish to deliver me. And there in the belly of that fish, I cried out to God. And I thanked him for saving me from this drowning, saving him from his judgment upon my rebellion and my unwillingness to do what he said. I said, God, I will do whatever it is you call me to do. And with that, this great fish vomited me out onto the beach. That's what the fish thought of me as a prophet. Well, I have to tell you that there on the beach, I decided to make good on my vow to God. I was committed to obedience this time around. And God's word came to me a second time. It said, Jonah, get up and go and speak against Nineveh. I learned. Can't run from God. So you might as well join it. And I traveled to Nineveh. I was a little afraid. I mean, you don't go to a place like Nineveh that has no regard for you as a prophet or you as a Jew and tell them that they will be destroyed. It's not the comfortable thing to speak out that way. But nevertheless, I learned my lesson. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's very, very enjoyable to be a preacher. I mean, it was quite enjoyable to walk through the streets of Nineveh and said, 40 days and you will be destroyed. Oh, to see the terror in their eyes and the fear, that made me feel so good. But you'll never guess what happened. As I proclaimed this warning, the people responded in repentance. Out of their fear, they believed that this really was a word from God and that God really would judge them. And because they believed that, they wanted to know what they could do. And they all decided to bow down and to put on sackcloth. And the king himself declared a decree. And that decree was said to everyone. He says, "Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, that we will not perish." That was the king's decree. You know what? The whole city of Nineveh repented. They acknowledged their waywardness, their wickedness, and they turned to God and asked that he would forgive them. And you know what's worst of all? God forgave them. Oh, I hate that about God, don't you? That he would forgive people who are so wayward and so wicked. I was so angry with God. I sat outside of Nineveh and I said, "God, just let me die. Just right now, just let me die. There's no reason for me to live." God said, "Why are you so upset?" I said, "God, this is exactly what I was afraid you would. I know you are a God who is compassionate and loving. A God who is not afraid and is eager, in fact, to relent concerning judgment." And somehow I knew that if God called me to warn these wicked people, his warning carried with it the hope that they might be able to turn back. I was so angry with God. I sat outside of Nineveh just wondering what God would do. And he said, "Jonah, do you really have a reason to be angry?" I said, "I have a reason to be angry. These are wicked people. I have a reason to be angry even to the point of death." I thought maybe, just maybe I might have persuaded God a little bit to understand the way things really are. And maybe he would change his mind. So I sat outside of Nineveh just to see what God would do. It's a hot place there in Assyria, under the Assyrian sun. And as I sat there, the sun beat down on me and I grew faint. And God miraculously pointed the castor oil plant to grow up over me and to provide shade. And a cool breeze came and it felt so good. It just felt like it was okay, whatever happened. But then I looked around and God also appointed a worm who started eating this plant. And this plant that I was sitting under that was giving me so much shade began to wilt. And then it died. This wonderful little plant that had been so comforting to me was dead. And now I was under the sun and in the misery of that sun. I said, "Oh God, what have you done?" Said Jonah. "Jonah, don't you understand? You had compassion for a castor oil plant because it made you comfortable. And you had nothing to do with it. It just grew up and then it was gone. And you're all upset about that, Jonah. But don't you think that I have a reason to be compassionate and merciful to an entire city of people, 120,000 of whom are little, don't know their right hand from their left, and there's all kinds of animals. Do you think that I could be compassionate to them, Jonah?" Let me tell you, God is a softie, and it really makes me angry. Here were people who were rebellious people, disobedient to what he had told them to do. And yet, he didn't judge them. He relented concerning the judgment he was going to bring upon them. It made me so angry as a prophet. The very thing that I was afraid that God would do, he did. I spoke to them and they repented. What a terrible thing to have happen. And that's precisely why I have come to warn you against this goal that you have set as a church. You see, when you talk about helping people who are outside your church, people who are sinners, and helping them turn to God, you don't realize who you're dealing with. You're dealing with people who've rebelled against God. People who've turned their backs on him. People who've been disobedient to him. People who deserve to be punished. And I say those who are drowning in the sea of sin deserve to drown. And yet, those are the very people you're reaching out to. I'm warning you, as a prophet of God, I'm warning you, God is merciful and he's compassionate. The big concern you should have is not whether God will use you to touch the lives of these people. The concern you should have is through what you say and what you do, what will happen when those people turn to God. How would you feel about that?
As we think about God's great mercy and grace for everyone.